yeah, we back. Oh, yeah, yeah, we back. 2020 division, Yanks back on the train tracks. Had to let the tense go, but we welcome in Garrett Cole. Judge back with the gavel, bringing Giancarlo up on these corners. Look at the information they gonna came back awesome. Boy, in the shell of day on the corners with your wrestler, man. You see Chess don't play too. Severino in rotation, packs to throw in case too. Fully loaded. We got the alleys wide open. One game at a time, we stay focused. Rocks Bombers on a mission. World Series chasing, taking a division. No time for wasting. Again, first placing.
Yeah, welcome to the Roll Call Podcast. I am Joe Aguirre, along with Lucas Baldock and our homeboy Steve Risser from Sports Talk with RNJ, and a Roll Call alum. Big game tonight?
Huge, huge. Sure. Huge game from Fenway.
New York Yankees, 92-70 versus the Red Sox, also 92-70. The second and third place teams in the American League East, which I find this to be extremely fitting. The winner just goes and plays Tampa, which this is just a battle for second place tonight is what this all boils down to. Our ace, Garrett Cole, 16-8 on the season, versus Nathan Eovaldi. Not your first choice, Steve.
Absolutely not.
But, man, they really needed to do what they needed to do on Sunday. He didn't pitch much because he was terrible. You think we see him in the game tonight?
Oh, who, Chris Sale? Yeah, I think so. I think they'll pitch Eovaldi maybe, you know, depending on how good he pitches, maybe, you know, 4 or 5 innings. And I think you see Chris Sale come out of the bullpen. I mean, it's going to be all hands on deck for Boston tonight. I mean, as you've seen later in the year, they really don't have a closer. I mean, they've been just doing everything. Pretty much everything's been by committee, you know, ever since Matt Barnes was on the COVID, you know, was on the COVID list. Everything's pretty much been done by committee for the Red Sox. So, I mean, I think it's all hands on deck for the Red Sox tonight. I mean, I don't even know how many innings of Aldo even pitch in this game.
Not necessarily all hands on deck, as J.D. Martinez, who's got a strained left ankle, will not be playing for the Boston Red Sox tonight in the American League wild card game. Lucas, that is, I hate to say it, but welcome news.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Red Sox offense, obviously, like we know, is part of the reason why they've been so successful this year. They're pitching, Joe, like we've always said, you know, their pitching started really hot. I think maybe the 4th, 5th week of the season, we did a show and we're like, just the pitching won't hold up. And it hasn't. Like Steve said, their bullpen is kind of diminished. They don't really have a true closer. They're kind of just doing everything by committee. But yeah, Joe, J.D. Martinez not playing in this game is huge for the Yankees. Takes away one of those solid power bats. Martinez has been great ever since he arrived in Boston. Really good power hitter. Just sits at that DH spot, kind of like Stanton did for us, and just crushes balls. I don't know who's going to fill in for him, but I feel like it's kind of fitting that they lose an offensive powerhouse player, especially since we don't have DJ LeMahieu now, and we also don't have Luke Voit, although Anthony Rizzo fits in very well.
Yeah, Steve, no J.D. Martinez, and to me, the impact of losing a bat like J.D. Martinez beyond, obviously, the home run potential. This guy's, you know, generally been a good postseason hitter when he gets the chance. It affects the rest of this lineup. Jarren Duran was called up to take the extra spot on the roster. I just like the idea. I mean, you know, you're not looking at, I mean, you need really Bogart or Devers to beat you. And you could almost kind of get around one of those guys in the lineup if you need to during the course of this game because J.D. Martinez's bat isn't there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the reason the Red Sox are here is because of those three guys, Bogaerts, Devers, and J.D. And obviously Hunter Renfro has had a really good year too. But yeah, now that you could pitch around one of those two guys, and then you add the fact that Garrett Cole's pitching. And yes, Garrett Cole has struggled, but the last performance against the Red Sox, he was pretty good. I think he went like 6 innings. He allowed 3 runs. Just the only 3 runs were in the sixth inning when Devers hit that 3-run homer. So I think this is a really big loss for the Red Sox. And I think it's really, really going to hurt them tonight. And obviously it really helps Garrett Cole.
Yeah. Red Sox were 49-32 at Fenway Park this year. The Yankees were 46-35 on the road. Obviously they just went to Fenway. about a week ago, maybe 10 days ago. That went really well. Giancarlo Stanton is something special in Fenway Park and in the postseason. Lucas, tonight, both of those things present themselves. What do you expect from the big guy tonight?
Yeah, last season, I know me, you, and JJ talked a lot about, you know, Giancarlo basically dragging us through that series with the Rays, basically producing all of our offense, which was fantastic. I mean, Giancarlo is great. Like you said, about 10 days ago, we had that series with Boston where he had 3 home runs and 10 RBIs. Talk about an X factor. I think it's got to be Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, like you said, Gerrit Cole, obviously, the lot rests on his shoulders. He controls, obviously, a lot, a big part of the game being the guy with the ball in his hands all the time. But I think the offense is going to click. I think one or two of our guys need to really be on tonight, whether that be Giancarlo and Judge, Giancarlo and Rizzo, Judge and Rizzo, one of the two. But I think Giancarlo having a monster game certainly is a part of it. And like you said, Joe, he plays really good against the Sox. He played really, had a really good series last week. And like we saw last season, he really powered our offense in the playoffs last season.
Steve, who do you got tonight as the X factor for the Yankees? Assuming that you think the Yankees are going to win.
Of course, I think the Yankees are going to win. I think you were a little scared there because at times, you know, I could tend to be negative. But yeah, but I think it's obviously Anthony Rizzo, because Rizzo sets the tone. As you remember in that Boston series, a lot of Giancarlo Stanton's big hits were because of Anthony Rizzo. Obviously, that Friday night game when Rizzo had that double, you know, Stanton 3-run homer. Rizzo got on base in Saturday's game. Stanton hits the grand slam, and then if you remember Sunday's game, Rizzo hit that double to set up Judge's double, and then set up Stanton's 2-run homer. So I think it's obviously Anthony Rizzo, because that will give protection to Judge and Stanton, the two big bats.
So interestingly enough, I was floundering between two picks, Steve, for who my X factor is tonight, and I thought you were going to pick one or the other, and you didn't.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to share both of mine. How's that sound? Yeah. I'm going to say number one, and I've been saying this from, well, I've been saying this, I think, Steve, since we started the show years ago.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge. This is Aaron Judge's team. It's Cole's and Stanton's team as much as Judge's, because they make about $78 million combined. But this is Aaron Judge's team. He's got to do something big. That contract extension is looming large. This could be his moment to really shine. If you had picked Aaron Judge, though, Steve, I was going to say the X factor has got to be Gerrit Cole for two reasons. Well, I'll give you three reasons. Number one, him starting takes Gary Sanchez out of the lineup. Gary's had a pretty good year. Gary's capable of putting a ball in the seat. So is Higashioka. But if I had to put my money on it, I'd put my money on Sanchez every time. Number two, that contract. This is what he's here for. You're supposed to win this game. It shouldn't even be a question. I expect a Roger Clemens-like performance tonight, like a 15-strikeout one-hitter, buzzes a couple of guys up and in. Maybe Xander Bogaerts at some point looks at the moon lying in the dirt at Fenway on a 3-1 pitch. I don't know. We'll see. And number three, he's the ace. This is what it's all about. This is what this kid dreamed of. The Yankees fell short last year, no fault of Gerrit Cole's. This is what aces do. Aces step up and they win big games. The Yankees are fortunate. The Red Sox have stumbled into the postseason, 5-5 over the last 10 games. Had to claw back against the Nationals. The Nationals.
Yeah, that's a terrible team. I mean, with the trade after the trade deadline, that's one of the worst teams in baseball, and they were losing 5-1 on the last day.
Yankees have been playing well. Saturday against Tampa was a disaster. I didn't like that, Steve. That made me feel a little uneasy. I don't like the blowout.
Yeah, we'll worry about Tampa once after we beat Boston. But I understand that.
Yeah, but let's be realist here.
I know.
They had a chance on Friday to nail this down, Saturday to nail this down, and they waited to give us agita on Sunday to get it done. I didn't love that. But again, look, they're playing well. The run differential, I think they got plus 28 in their last 10 games. Here's the other thing, Steve. And Lucas, I'll get to you in a minute on this because we've discussed this in previous episodes here.
Mm-hmm.
The Bronx Bombers are back, Steve. You look at the numbers of Judge and Stanton alone in the months of August and September. Double-digit home runs both months for both guys. Multiple in the last month and a half, five home run games that the Yankees have had. And to me, Steve, I thought the problem all season for the Yankees was we're hitting a long ball. And I know people like when they do the small ball. They weren't doing it this year because that was the game plan. They were doing it because guys like Glaber weren't hitting. And Urshela, Voit was out. And so there was a real lack of power on this team. These guys can bash. Evaldi can be very good, but he's also prone to the home run.
Oh, absolutely. And if without Judge and Stanton, they're obviously not in this position. They both had phenomenal months of September. They've been absolutely phenomenal. And right now, all year long, it was the offense was the concern. And obviously the bullpen was a concern at times, but who would have thought, you know, if there is a concern, it would be the pitching. But with our ace on the mound, I am very, very confident tonight. I mean, I think everything the last couple of weeks, yes, they did lose those two games to Tampa, but I feel like everything the last couple of weeks has really been clicking for this team. That's why they've been hot, and that's why I'm really, really confident tonight.
Jose Roman, are you a Red Sox fan? Or are you a Yankees fan who's just really down on this season?
Let's be honest. If you're picking against the Yankees, you're not a true Yankee fan in this spot. This is a Red Sox team that was picked to be in fourth place. This is a Red Sox team really that didn't do what they needed to do with the trade deadline. This is a Red Sox team that since the last 2 months has not been that good. They've not been that good. They played like the team that everybody expected them to be this year, not the team that played over their head for the first 4 months of the season.
Jared Jones, noted Red Sox and Cowboys fan, for you scoring at home.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Jared says you guys are too confident. Neither team has played very consistently. This is a coin toss. And I'll say this, hold up.
Yeah.
The Yankees have been terribly inconsistent this season. You've seen the breakdown, Steve.
Yes.
Bad start, great run, bad run, great run, bad run. 13-game winning streak, 7-15, 7-3. What's going on? This team is streaky, and this is why I don't like taking Gary Sanchez out of the lineup. You got streaky hitters, and you're in a good streak. You got to ride that hot hand. That's the way I always look at this. If you're playing well, you go to the postseason. You know what I mean? I don't need to see Tyler Wade at third base tonight.
No, or Kyle
for defensive reasons. But this is that's the kind of stuff Aaron Boone sitting in his office. Again, you go home from the dance with the girl you brought. What got you to the postseason? It wasn't Tyler Wade. It wasn't Kyle Higashioka. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're at this point, I don't care about these personal catchers. Forget about that. You got to put the best lineup on the field as that you possibly can. And I'd much rather want – I don't care about the personal catcher. I'd rather want Gary Sanchez over Kyle Higashioka any day of the week. Any day of the week.
Touche. Jose Roman says, Red Sox team that ended with the same record. So does that make the Yankees a worse team?
Same record. The only reason the Red Sox have the same record as the Yankees is because they played over their head for the first 4 months of the season. Ever since their bullpen has fallen apart the last 2 months and their lineup hasn't been as good, there's the only saving grace. They wouldn't be in the playoffs if Chris Sale didn't come back. That's the only saving grace for this team the last 2 months.
It looks like my mom's chiming in, and I guess she's quoting Jace Garcia here. I'll tell you why. The main thing the Red Sox have in favor is home field advantage. But the Yankees want this so much that I think the Yankees have the advantage. That sounds like something Jace would say.
I gotta agree, nobody wants it more.
Come on, Mom.
Yeah. I mean, the Red Sox want it as much as the Yankees. I mean, the reason the Yankees, to me, have the advantage is they got the race on the mound. They just have the better roster. They just have clearly the better team. That's why I think the Yankees are going to win. Not because they want it more. I just think they're clearly the better team.
Jared said it's the same record. Why is that the Yankees' record? What's their saving grace? Well, listen, here's the thing about the Yankees. The Yankees underperformed while, as Steve mentioned, the Red Sox were playing over their head. Once the Yankees got healthy, all things considered, the Yankees also had two pretty severe bouts with COVID that took Garrett Cole out in one of them and Aaron Judge out, I think, in both. Anyway, the Yankees were playing terribly. Same as the Atlanta Braves, same as the St. Louis Cardinals. Do you guys want to play either one of them in the World Series right now? No. Hot hands. The Red Sox were leading this division till when, Steve?
Till the end of July when Tampa completely took over.
Yeah. So I think we know that this Red Sox team is this Red Sox team. And again, you don't have JD Martinez in that lineup. That is huge. That's huge. I'm telling you, that's huge just from, like I said earlier, never mind what that guy can do in the lineup. Never mind the clubhouse leader that he is. Never mind that he's from their last championship team. And was he the MVP?
No, Steve Pierce was, but that was kind of, he had a huge series.
Steve Pierce. Hilarious. Anyway, all right. I mean, listen, the Yankees are in really good shape here. This team was bad. And here, I'll give you, let me explain this one more time to the Red Sox fans. Here's the best way to explain this. The trade deadline, Steve, right? The Yankees were teetering on the brink of, do we trade Aroldis Chapman and Zach Britton and any other pieces that we might be able to get something back in? And then instead, we were given Joey Gallo, immediately followed by Anthony Rizzo. This new Yankee team from the trade deadline till today has been phenomenal. I talked about it on Keys to the City. I explained it here as well, that the Yankees needed to play like, and I laid it out. I said they had to cross 90 wins. Had to do it if you were going to make the postseason. I explained their record. They had to play like around a 600 clip in the second half. No reason to think a team that barely played over 500 at the break would do that. Why did I think it was going to happen? Again, factors like Gallo and Rizzo. The Yankees had terrible production at first base with Luke Voit out all season. They had a terrible gaping hole in the outfield. Lucas, you said it a bunch of times. If there's one thing we need, it's another outfielder who hits home runs, strikes out, and walks. He's a perfect fit to this lineup. As frustrating as Joey Gallo's been, again, his presence, his patience, the pitches that he takes, the effect that that has on a guy like Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah, no, the walks are huge. The walks are absolutely huge.
Nathan Eovaldi doesn't get out of the second inning tonight, is my thought. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's 10 to nothing. It means he doesn't get out of the second inning. The bases are loaded. Probably Chris Sale comes in. If I'm being honest with you, I don't think Nathan Eovaldi's up for this thing. I mean, you want to talk about inconsistent. I think that guy's the model of it. He's got all the talent in the world to be an ace in Major League Baseball. And he has never, ever put it all together. Not enough.
I remember he was with the Yankees. I mean, he was okay. He wasn't great. I mean, he's having probably one of the best years of his career this year, but I don't trust him pitching a game like this.
Is this a fact? Does anybody, I assume Jose must have this on the up. Chris Sale's not on the roster.
No.
I'm checking right now.
It's over. No, I'm just kidding. That, again, would be tremendous news. Again, you're talking about another veteran of the championship Red Sox team. So no Chris Sale.
Wow.
No J.D. Martinez.
I mean, this is like the Red Sox World Series if they win this game, because you know if they even get in the playoffs, Tampa's going to sweep them with everyone they got to have out.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, let's assume they even bring Martinez back on the roster. Yeah. He's banged up, and so it would be, Listen, here's what I'll say to Jose Roman and my buddy Jared Jones, and for whatever reason, all you Red Sox fans that watch the show, I do appreciate it. You guys do know this is a Yankee show, by all the Yankee logos and whatnot that are hanging. But the Red Sox, Steve, I think, have had a tremendous year. And like you said, played over their head. I felt the pitching was not going to hold up. I think tonight it's going to be what ends their season. If I'm a Red Sox fan, based off of what happened last year, where, again, I thought the Red Sox made the most of the situation. And as bad as things were, the Red Sox have a way of bringing young guys up and letting guys like Verdugo play. And they kind of prime themselves to do what the Red Sox can do. And that's reel off a really good year. And I said this yesterday. I'll say this again. I think, it, you know, again, you like you said, this is the World Series tonight if they win it. But if I'm a Red Sox fan, everybody told me we were coming in fourth. Really? You know, I realize it was tight, but they put themselves in a really great position by playing as well as they played early in the year. The Red Sox certainly have the talent. It's obvious what their problem is. We've already dissected it. You need some more pitching. It's something that you're certainly going to address in the offseason. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I hate to talk about 2022 since we're in the thick of 2021, but you're talking about 90 win teams, four of them in the American League East. And we knew how good all these teams were. By default, everybody was like, well, I guess Boston's going to have to suck. And they didn't. And, you know, Steve, they haven't been playing great in the second half. They won when they needed to. Steam's a little bit scary like that. However, no Martinez, no Sale. I'm picturing like a Curt Schilling kind of moment, you know? Diamondbacks, not Red Sox, where he comes in, you know.
Yeah, that 0-1 World Series, Jerry came in, yeah.
Yeah, him and Johnson pitched every other game for long stretches, it seemed. It was terrible. But listen, the Yankees did what they had to do. They had to win the wild card. It really didn't matter how they won it, because it doesn't matter. Again, all things considered, Lucas, look at the roster. I mean, on paper, and I know that's why we play the games, but a much better roster by the Yankees and a much better pitching matchup.
Oh, yeah. And I was going to just mention quickly, one surprising thing I'm seeing here on this roster is Domingo Germán is on the roster.
Yeah.
So I don't remember the last time I've seen him pitch in a game. But hey, you know, maybe he'll come in and throw some nasty curveballs.
I'm not sure Red Sox fans are even aware that Luis Severino's pitching out of the bullpen and Lifetime has an 0.31 ERA pitching in relief, as in he's really hard to hit in the first inning or in one inning. And so when you see him, it's bad news. Chad Green got right. I feel fine about Chapman. I do. I definitely do. Especially at Fenway.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Yankees' chances tonight.
Yeah, and I like the fact with Chapman that Boone stopped with this whole closer by committee and made him the closer, and that's really helped him late in the year.
Yeah, you know, he's just one of those guys. I talk about this all the time when Yankee fans delusionally speak about getting rid of Chapman. Who would you prefer be back there?
Nobody else.
Who else has the track record?
You saw that disaster with Chad Green in Houston.
You know, it's funny, Steve, when you look at Mariano and Hoffman, Billy Wagner, Papelbon, group of guys.
They did it so easy where people got spoiled.
Yeah. And then it just doesn't happen anymore. And the last guy who truly is doing that is Aroldis Chapman. It is really hard to be a relief pitcher, no matter how good or how hard you throw in Major League Baseball. Unless you're in Tampa, then it's very easy for some reason. But everywhere else, pitching in relief is really difficult to do. And generally speaking, flip a baseball card over on any of these middle relievers. It's generally an every other year kind of a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
The special ones are the ones that don't have a 5-6-6 on the off year. The special ones are the guys that can reel three or four great years in a row with a bad year. Because it's going to happen. We saw Chad Green 2 years ago when he was terrible. Got sent to the minors. I mean, he had an ERA.
It was like
when
16.
He went to the minors, in the high mid-double teens, it was bad. And I remember thinking when he came back and he was pitching great, I thought, this guy's not going to get under a 5. But it's not going to tell the story of the year that he had. Because when he came back, my goodness, in the second half, he was as dominant as he'd ever been in his life.
Oh, yeah. He looked great.
And by the way, for the record, he did get a shade under 5 before the season was out, which blew my mind because in mid-May, did not think that the innings would be possible to make that happen. Mariano, this is the worst thing that ever happened to the Yankees. Also a blessing for all the years he was on the Yankees, a blessing, but also a terrible curse has been left. If you expect every right fielder for the Yankees to be Babe Ruth, and you expect every shortstop for the Yankees to be Derek Jeter, and you expect every catcher for the Yankees to be Yogi Berra, Gehrig, you see where I'm going with this? There's a reason Mariano was the greatest reliever of all time. To hold Aroldis Chapman or Zach Britton or Matt Barnes or anybody to that being the standard is insane. It's like saying that Tom Brady, like every quarterback, if you're not Brady, you suck. Which, for the record, would mean Pat Mahomes sucks.
Exactly.
You see how that doesn't fly?
I know, yeah.
It doesn't fly. You can't hold up Yankee shortstops to Jeter in the future. That's an impossible task. You wouldn't do that with a Cardinals like player in Honus Wagner. You know what I mean? Pirates, I mean. You wouldn't do it. You can't do it. The Mariano Rivera effect lives and looms large because here's the other problem, Steve. Before he was the closer, he was the setup man.
Yeah, John Wetland, yeah.
And he was, next to flawless.
Oh, I know.
For a really long time. While the Brian Brunies and the Tanyan Sturtzes of the world and the Scott Proctors pitched to 3.5 ERAs, we thought they were bums. Unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. I love Mariano Rivera. But boy, the Yankee fans sometimes get delusional about things.
Oh, Joe, we've known that.
Paul O'Neill was not anywhere near as good as Babe Ruth. Paul O'Neill didn't suck. That is not the standard for Yankee right fielder. You got to hit about 714 home runs or so. The Yankee closer's not going to be perfect for 20 seasons in a row. It's not going to happen. The only guy capable of even coming close to it is Aroldis Chapman.
Yep.
I can't think of another guy who could do it. Who else has been doing it? Anybody want Craig Kimbrell? That's what I thought. What's the guy at the Dodgers? Jansen? Is he even closing anymore?
Kenley Jansen. I'm not even sure if he closed anymore. Yeah.
Dude, I feel like every time I watch SportsCenter, it's like, oh, who did Jansen give up like a walk-off to?
Exactly, yeah.
Give me a break. The guy's the best in the business and possibly the last of the breed.
Yep.
Because if I had to guess, I think the closer by committee is going to become the more popular option in the future.
Yeah, that's what Tampa's done this year. They traded their closer at the trade deadline to Seattle. That's what they've done this year, and it's worked for them.
I'll bet you the, what do they got? 10 guys in that bullpen?
Yeah.
About.
I'll say, right. I mean, because they don't have five starters. There's not five starters on that roster. So let's say there's 10 guys in that bullpen. They're probably paying those guys about $12 million this year combined.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And when you look at what they did this year, it's got to get a stable of hard throwing righties, huh? Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
They make those guys dime a dozen everywhere in America. Find a college. They've got a guy who's 6'5" that throws 100.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sad future of baseball, which is why you have the walk hits, the walks, the strikeouts, and the home run. That's what it is.
Yeah, the pitching doesn't get enough credit.
That's good. No, that is a good point. Liam Hendricks is pretty good.
Is he going to be in the Hall of Fame?
No,
and regarded as one of the great closers of all time.
No.
Again, Jose, thanks for playing, but no.
Don't even bring up Kyle Farnsworth. He was not good.
Kyle Farnsworth, AJ Burnett, Nathan Eovaldi, same guy.
Yeah.
All the talent in the world, a breaking ball that's off the charts. And too much of a head case to have enough control over it.
Yep.
We're not delusional. We're spoiled from having the greatest players on our team in the past 68 years. Well, I know you're over 68, Mom. Just kidding. I understand being spoiled. When your team has the expectation every year that you have to win the World Series, or what's the point of all this? Say, compared to, I don't know, Steve, how long has Pittsburgh been in a rebuild? For about 15 years?
Oh, yeah. They had a run there with McCutcheon in like 13 to 15, but pretty much since they got walked off by the Braves in that NLCS, it's like 92, pretty much.
Joe, you had your favorite moment from Mike Messina. Oh, what's my favorite moment for Mike Messina, dude? Hands down, I'll never forget this because when he had the near perfect game against Boston at Fenway, and Carl Everett, who he had struck out five times the last time he faced Boston, was up and he got a hit on a 3-2 pitch. But I had company over that evening, was entertaining some people, dinner guests. And the Yankees were on ESPN.
Were you in Portland, Maine at that time?
I was living in Portland, Maine. So I didn't have access to Yankee games on the regular. And I turned the TV on and I was like, ooh. And I watched the first inning and my now ex-wife, you know, called for me. She was like, hey, come on, your guests are here. And I made it a point, Steve, after the first inning to come in when the Red Sox were hitting, as opposed to when the Yankees were hitting, because from the very first pitch of that game, Mike Messina, I thought in my head, was throwing a no-hitter. He had that kind of stuff that night. And with each passing inning, I was like, oh, yeah. And then there he was. Bottom of the ninth. 3-2 on Carl Everett. That is my favorite Mike Messina moment, though. I will say that. How about you, Steve? You got a favorite Messina moment?
2003 when he came in for Clemens, came into relief, kept that game close for the Yankees to come back in Game 7.
Lucas, Moose.
Oh, geez. Might be a little before my time, to be fair with you.
No, that's fine.
I was a young lad back then.
I also, his last year when he won the 20 games.
I actually was at the game when he won his 20th at Fenway.
Oh, is that right?
A good moment. Yeah.
I'll tell you. And by the way, anybody, John, about the G-Men tomorrow night at 5:00. I cried when the Giants won yesterday, literal tears. And I don't know.
That was awesome.
I don't know what it was.
That was awesome. I think it was the fact they were – it looked over, and it looked like they were down by, like, 10 points with, like, you know, 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And usually that's a game the last four – the last 5 years the Giants would definitely lose. And then Daniel Jones bringing him back. And it proves to you he's getting closer and closer to being that guy.
Can I tell you, I sat there and I thought in my head that entire game, even when they were down, they're winning this game today.
Because the Saints don't trust Jameis Winston.
I believed that so much, and as that game unfolded and they fell behind, I was like, I don't know, man. This doesn't like
Saints.
I feel like they got it. Gonna happen.
Saints don't trust their quarterback. 3rd and 14 Yeah. That screen to Deontay Harris, and the Giants get the ball back to get the field goal. Kenny Golladay proved yesterday why he's worth that much money.
The reason I bring that up is people sometimes think that because I can be loud when it comes to the Yankees, and of course when it comes to the Giants, and my own mom expressed concern for me freaking out so much. And here's the thing, and maybe this is because of the Giants Super Bowls when I was young, and then all the Yankee World Series, but I watch a game, I get excited at how it ends for like 2 seconds, and then that's it. I don't even feel like I enjoy things anymore. You know what I mean? Like, if the Yankees were to win the World Series this year, my immediate thought goes to, what a relief. Now we got to do it again. I feel like all the joy in enjoying because of that Yankee mindset of World Series or bust. And it's a great goal. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't want my team to be anybody else. I mean, the Red Sox tank about every 4 years. It's an interesting formula. I'm not interested in it. All right. Since it is the wild card game tonight, and we have, I think, exhausted most of what's going to happen this evening, looks like the Yankees are positioned well. Steve, I'm going to start with you. Your favorite non-World Series Yankees playoff moment, and thank you to Dylan Oxton, who's not here with us today, for coming up with that very well-worded question.
I would say it was A-Rod's home run to tie the game against the Angels in game two of the ALCS, and here's why. Angels win that game, they tie that series. There's a good chance they might win that series, and the Yankees hadn't won the World Series in 9 years. So I think that was such a huge home run, and that was the biggest reason why they got past the Angels and eventually won the World Series that year.
Mine, Joe, isn't from a World Series championship winning year, but this moment just brought me so much joy and excitement. I don't know if I've ever felt something like this before. 2017 wild card game against Minnesota. Luis Severino implodes in the first inning, gives up 3 runs. Next inning, what do you know? Runners on first and third. Didi Gregorius gets a nice pitch over the plate and pounds it into the short left field porch to tie the game. And the Yankees just ran with it from there. And I remember I've never been so low and then so high in such a short period of time watching a baseball game. It was just great. And just thinking about that moment makes me so happy. So that's why I chose that one.
I'm going to tell you my worst Yankee non-playoff moment, and that would be 1995 at the Superdome. Not the Superdome, the Kingdome.
The Kingdome, yeah. When they blew that, they obviously had the lead, and they blew that lead. Yep. I don't remember. I was four years old. I don't remember that. It was Don Mattingly's last year.
That was Don Mattingly's first taste of the postseason, and it ended so tragically. But I guess my favorite in my lifetime had to be the flip. Derek Jeter doing what Derek Jeter does, coming out of nowhere. People always ask, why didn't Jeremy Giambi slide? I don't think Jeremy Giambi thought in any way, shape, or form was Derek Jeter going to be able to pull off the flip. That was amazing.
It was. That's what a great moment.
I could also tell you every moment from 96. Again, watching Mariano pitch oftentimes the 7th and the 8th inning, turn it over to Wetland, who would walk a couple, give up a hit. He was the bend and break type, you know? Ben wouldn't remember break. That's what
that
he was.
96, that 96 season, they won six innings. They won the game pretty much because they had Rivera for two innings and they had Wetland in the ninth.
Yeah, right here over my shoulder, as a matter of fact, is the 96 black. Wetland was the MVP. So, yeah. you know, and then they let that guy go. And boy, was that the right decision. You don't often let the you're literally the guy standing on the mound when you win the World Series. And you're like, get a better guy here. If John Wetland had stayed the closer, I don't think Yankee fans would feel the way about relievers as they do now. You agree?
Yeah, exactly. 100% agree with you there.
All right, so here's what we're doing. Yanks obviously playing tonight, 8:08 at Fenway Park. We will be back here tomorrow, win, lose, or draw. Although draws are not possible. So win or lose, we will be back here tomorrow. We'll dissect what happened. We'll preview the Tampa series. Worst case scenario, we'll wrap it all up for the season. But it's got still, a good feeling.
You're not wrong. It's still the Tampa series, no matter who plays them.
True that. So, yeah, get your scouting reports ready on Tampa, boys, for tomorrow's show. But you never know. We will see, again, Evaldi versus Cole tonight, 8:08. Make sure you visit our website, clovercrestmedia.com/The Roll Call Podcast. We're on Facebook as The Roll Call Podcast, Twitter at The Roll Call Show, and on the Instagram. It's going to do it for us. We'll be back again tomorrow. Lucas Baldock, Steve Risser, thanks for joining us. Sports Talk with RJ tomorrow, 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. We'll be reacting to this week 5 of the NFL season and week 6 of the college football season.
Make sure you check them out. I'm Joe Aguirre. That's it for us. We'll catch you tomorrow for another all-new Roll Call Podcast.
Oh, yeah, we back. 2020 division, Yanks back on the train track. Has it left the tenses go, but we welcome in Garrett Cole. Judge back with the gavel, we're bringing Giancarlo up on these corners. Look at the information they corner, came back awesome. Boy, in the shell of day on the corners with your wrestler, man, you Sanchez don't play too. Severino in rotation, packs the throwing cage too. Okay. Fully loaded, we got the alleys wide open. One game at a time, we stay focused. Rocks Bombers on a mission. World Series chasing, taking the division. No time for wasting. Again, first placing.